You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church Kelowna. For more information about our church, please visit hopekelowna.ca.
Let's get to it. All right, let's open up our Bibles. And ushers are coming forward. If you don't have a Bible and would like a Bible to follow along, you can raise your hand. They would love to put a Bible in your hand. And if you don't have a Bible at home, please take that Bible as a gift today, an Easter present for you. And just thank you so much, worship team, for leading us today, and the tech team and the setup. They were here yesterday, this morning, bright and early. It was like +1. It was very chilly, and they endured through it all for us. The hospitality teams, Hope Kids, Hope Nursery workers, all those who were singing in the choir, and those operating the balloons, we're thankful that kind of worked. I was thinking it might be word search. It might not have been a good thing if it said something, I'm in prison. Thankfully, there's no P in there, but he's risen. And on Monday, you will be the talk at your workplace or school, or I guess probably Tuesday for many of you, because you're going to have a funny sunburn on your face. It's only going to be about half your face that you're going to have a sunburn. And you say, I got it in church. And so thank you all for coming today. And as we look to God's Word, you can turn to Job chapter 19. Job 19. And a very strange Easter message from the book of Job that we are going to look at here this morning. And Job is about in the middle of your Bibles. If you get to Psalms and Proverbs, just go a little bit before that is the book of Job. And today we are declaring hope. And one sweet thing about being inside, we wrestled a few months ago, inside, outside. It's March 31st, inside, outside, what do? But we wanted to declare to our neighborhood, we wanted to declare in the heavenly realms, we wanted to make a shout that hope is alive because Jesus is alive. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked from the grave. And if ever there is a time in all of our lifetime for us here today where we need a message of hope amidst the chaos and the confusion in our world, in our lives, in society today, it's today. And so today, you're on this, in this parking lot. Those joining us online, we welcome you. But for every one of us here today, all of us, we have been touched in this past year by some sort of grief, trouble, fear, anxiety, betrayal, confusion, sickness. We've all been touched in one way or another in varying degrees. And it seems like hopelessness and despair can easily rule the day as we see what is going on all around us. It seems evil is increasing with greater and greater volume all around us, in our neighborhoods, this neighborhood, locally, nationally, globally. We just see the hurt and the heartache. But Easter is the declaration that hope is alive because Jesus walked from the grave. And today, whether you are a skeptic today, you came here as an invitation from a friend, maybe you consider yourself an atheist, an agnostic, a prodigal, someone struggling, sorting out faith, you're struggling in life, or maybe you're the most seasoned believer today, we all can use and need an infusion of hope. And I trust that you will receive that today from the Word of God. This morning, for a few moments, we're going to look at one of the oldest books in world history. One of the oldest books in the Bible. And what we can see from this is that we can have hope and joy and confidence despite our circumstances. Regardless of what the future may look like, we can have hope. Job was a man who lived 3,500 years ago. And one thing about Job, you have to understand, he was a very good man. He did not deserve what happened to him, one could easily say. In fact, it could be said of Job that he was a blessed man. Job was incredibly blessed. You wanted Job as your neighbor. He would have been a great neighbor to have. Because, and if not your neighbor, you would want your kid to marry into Job's family. Because Job was a wealthy guy. Job, and it would have been very easy for your kid to perhaps marry into his family because he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And some of you might think, wow, that's a lot of mouths to feed. It wasn't a problem for Job because he had the money. Job had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, which means 1,000 oxen. He had 500 female donkeys. He was said to be the greatest of all the people. And not only was he wealthy, we know that he gained his wealth in honesty, in living uprightly. It says in Job chapter 1, he did what was right in the eyes of God. Job respected God. He feared God. He turned away from evil. It says he was blameless. Now, it didn't mean that he didn't mess up. It mean he didn't sin. But when he did say things or do things to hurt others or to offend God, he was quick to take responsibility for it. He owned it before God and man. He took spiritual responsibility. He was a good dad. He took good care of his children spiritually. He led them. He offered sacrifices and offered prayers of intercession for God to forgive and for God to work in his children's lives. He desired and he prayed that his children would also live really good lives and follow in the ways of God. He was a good man. He was a blessed man. But we also read, as we continue on in chapter 1, in just a very short period of time, in probably a matter of days or a week or so, he lost it all. And Job all of a sudden became a suffering man. And Job began to suffer, and suffer intensely. All of his possessions, all that he had, was gone and taken from him. Bandits came along and took his donkeys and his oxen and killed his workers that were caring for them. A wildfire came along and consumed the sheep as well as the servants. Then his kids were having a party, a celebration, a time together, a time away, perhaps at the beach somewhere. And a storm came up and the roof fell in on his children and they all died. Job also, we read, he lost his health. His body started to decay on him. In chapter 2 of Job, it says his body was covered in boils from head to toe. We read that he was in so much pain, he took broken pieces of pottery to scrape and to scratch his inflamed body. All of this caused Job to be a wrestling man, a man who wrestled. He wrestled and he asked God and he asked his friends. He asked so many questions and he asked the big question, why? Why? You know, one great thing about our God is that our God can handle every one of our questions. In fact, he wants to hear our questions. This book is filled with questions and laments before God as he's trying to sort it out and figure out, God, what are you up to? You might as well say your questions to God. You might as well direct them to him because your thoughts are like words to God anyway. So you just might as well just get rid of the awkward and just start asking God the questions. Why? His wife saw everything. She was devastated. She looked at her husband and said, God is doing all of this? How could he do this? Curse God and die, Job. Curse God and just give up. Our lives are over. Our lives are ruined. Chapter 2, it says that three of his friends came to see him. And it says that when they saw him, they didn't even recognize him. I mean, his body filled with boils and probably inflamed. And for 7 days, it says, his friends were speechless. They said nothing. Because sometimes, let's face it, when life hits, there are just no words. And it was great wisdom and care for his friends to be there and to keep their mouths shut. And sometimes the gift of presence is the most important gift that we can give in times of sorrow and sadness. Well, then we read after 7 days, they started to speak. It probably would have been better if they just would have remained silent because they weren't helpful at all because they were like, oh, Job, oh, Job, you must have done something really bad in your life. You must have really ticked God off. There must be something. And so Job went on this search, and he's looking, and he's trying to reconcile what's happened in his life and what God was doing in and through all of this. Here he is at the highest level of loss and despair. His wife says, curse God and die. His circumstances make no sense. He has more questions than answers. And in the midst of it all, these friends, these people are saying, God has failed you. God has let you down. And in the midst of all of this, almost halfway through his book of laments and questions and pouring his heart out to God, in the midst of it, in chapter 19, verse 25, is where we will read here this morning and where we will park here for a few moments. And he makes this statement. He says, for I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. Here we see something else about Job, is that Job is a confident man. Job has a confidence that is literally out of this world. Job has this confidence in the midst of confusion and doubt and loss and so many questions. He makes this incredible statement. He has this confidence. He has resurrection confidence. Notice he doesn't say it all. I know that my insurance policy will cover all of the losses. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I know the justice system will bring these bandits who took my oxen and took my camels. The justice system, the government will bring it to justice. They'll round up those bandits and deal with them swiftly. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hey, you know what? I know these boils eventually will go away. That my healthy body, all of the hours I spent at the gym, all of the healthy eating and living, they're going to pay off and I'll be fine in a matter of... He doesn't say that. He doesn't have that kind of confidence. He doesn't simply say, I know that if I just hold on, white knuckle it, I'm going to get through this. I just need to hold on. He doesn't say that either. No, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. He knows this. He has this resurrection confidence in God. I know it. And that word know means extreme, 100%. Go to the bank, 100% sure that his Redeemer lives. Now, this word Redeemer that he refers to is referenced in other places in Scripture. It's from ancient times. It's called the Kinsman Redeemer. That means a rescuer, a guardian. A kinsman redeemer was usually a family member who would step in times of crisis and trouble. But Job is not talking about a family member. Besides, it seems like there are no family members to be found. Perhaps they were all workers for him and all died. Who is Job's kinsman redeemer? Who is the redeemer he's talking about? He's talking about the Lord God. Here in the midst of suffering and wrestling, Job declares this faith, this trust, that he believes that somehow, he doesn't see it, he doesn't believe it, 100% in his own flesh, but he stands on resurrection confidence. It's not in his insurance. It's not in his will to fight. It's in a confidence that he has, knowing that God would help him. God would help him in this life and in the life to come. He entrusted his life into the hands of God. Have you done that today? Have you entrusted your life into the hands of God? Here is this man who lived 3,500 years ago. He didn't have a Bible like what we have today. It hadn't been written yet. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have an Old Testament. He didn't have a New Testament. He didn't have any of that. But Job knew that God made a promise in Genesis 3. He made a promise to Adam and Eve in the garden that there would one day be a Savior, that there would be a Redeemer, there would be one that would one day come that would crush the serpent's head. There would be one who would one day conquer evil and bring justice and peace. Job didn't know what we now know. Job didn't know that the Son of God, his Redeemer, would come to this earth, would be born in Bethlehem, live a sinless life, perform great and mighty miracles. He didn't know that his Redeemer would be betrayed and rejected by his own friends and family. His own family would have nothing to do with him. Job didn't know that there would be this day that we now call Good Friday, that it would be the darkest day on the planet, where the very Son of God, his Redeemer, would be tortured with no mercy. He would be nailed to a cross. Job didn't know what we now know, that on that day when Jesus was crucified, that the sun would stop shining, that the earth would shake, and that God in the flesh would hang there and he would die. Job didn't know what we now know, that Jesus suffered and died. As he was doing so, he was paying the penalty for sin. He was paying the penalty for all who would turn to him in repentance and faith. Job didn't know what we now know, that his Redeemer's lifeless body would be taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb, and it would be sealed and guarded by Roman centurions. Job didn't know what we now know, that 3 days later on Easter Sunday, that Jesus, his Redeemer, our Redeemer, would burst out of the grave, conquering sin and death. That he passed through in his death, in his suffering, that he passed through the fires of judgment and came out alive and glorified. And for all who would put their confidence, their trust into the lives, into the hands of this Redeemer, who would do so by faith in the same way that Job trusted his Redeemer by faith, that today whoever does that, who has done that, will be forgiven of any and all sin, any of the bad things that you've done, that others have done towards you, it can be forgiven, and a clean slate between you and God. It's available today, as well as the bonus to all of that is eternity in heaven. And yet Job, with pain and loss and boils all over his bodies and friends that weren't very helpful, and the future on the horizon for him was incredibly bleak, Job believed by faith that somehow, some way, God would work on his behalf. Job believed that God would work. Again, let me read in verse 25. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth." My Redeemer, he says, will stand upon the earth, on the dust, on the rubble of all that has been destroyed. And he will bring about full redemption, justice, and restoration. Job didn't know how it would happen, but he believed and he trusted. And he declared, "I know that my Redeemer lives." He was essentially saying, "God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to walk in your ways. I'm going to take that next step of obedience. I'm going to follow you." And so many of us have experienced that in life. I think back when I was 13 years old and my cousin, who was 16 years old, was killed in a car accident. This cousin was like a brother to me. And I remember asking God, and it struck so much fear and even anger and confusion. "God, what are you doing?" You know, it would be later on that I would see how God would take even a tragedy and a sadness like that and bring so much good. In my 20s, I battled mentally really bad in the head for a period of time. And I remember thinking, "Is this my life? Is this my future? What good can come from something like this?" But somewhere in there was a little morsel of faith that chose to trust and find a confidence in a Redeemer who says, "Meldon, I've got you in my hands." Loved ones, whatever it is that you are facing, you have a Redeemer who is ready and willing and able to step in. But we must invite him. We can struggle with family. We can struggle with work. I mean, I got fired from a church twice, the same church, believe it or not. And I remember as a family standing and saying, what good can come from something like this? My hope, my future, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And yet how God is and can be so faithful if we're willing to hold on and to trust Him. Loved ones, there are some things we may never get an answer for here on this earth. Some things that will never make sense to us on this side of eternity. When we look at our world and we see how twisted and tired and broken it is, even in this parking lot, the hearts and the lives and the families represented here, our society, it's all filled with such grief and loss and anxiety and suffering and sorrow. Such dark and deep things going on, perhaps even in your own mind today. There's relational tensions, financial concerns. Better fill up your gas tanks today. There's health woes and concerns that we can carry. And some of you today may sense, I'm at my limit. You came here, you had a smile on your face, you shook a few people's hands, you have some coffee afterwards, some nice pastries and some nice baking, and then you'll go out and leave here, and yet you're at your limit, and you just say, I don't even know how I made it there today. Because some of the things you're going through is so hard and difficult, it's not making sense, and you're wondering, am I going to be able to keep going? And maybe you're not there today. Praise the Lord for that. But one day you may find yourself there. Now let's face it, some of our suffering are a result of bad choices that we've made or that others have made. But even in the bad choices and even at times the bad people, there's grace and there's mercy and there's forgiveness and there's a fresh hope available. Job didn't know how it would all work out. But he knew the end of the story. He knew how the story was going to end, and it was going to be amazing. Verse 26, what does it say? After my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh. He believes in a resurrection. He believes he's going to be alive. In my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself with these eyes. I shall behold him, not another. I will behold God. And he says, and my heart faints. My heart faints within. He's just like, I can't believe it. It's going to be amazing. Because he's saying, I know how the story ends. Right now it stinks. Right now it's hard. But I know how the story will end when my life is done. I will see God. Job has resurrection confidence. And he says, I see it with my own eyes. I'm going to see this one day. He says, I'm overwhelmed with the thought of it. Loved ones, resurrection confidence isn't just enduring suffering now in heaven and eternal life to come. And some of you might just be, at times it's easy, well, I'm just holding on for heaven. This life is going to stink and it's going to be hard, but I'm just holding on to heaven. Don't sell this life that short. Our Redeemer is working right now. He wants to work in your life, in the mess. Not just promise you heaven down the road, but to give you joy. And Jesus even said, I've come so that your life will stink and you're going to be bored for the rest of your life. Is that what Jesus said? No. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. We as believers in Jesus Christ should have the most joy, the most victory, because we have a Redeemer here standing in for us, walking with us, and promising us eternal life in heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says that the same power that raised Jesus on Resurrection Sunday from the dead is available to those who have turned to Him. For the salvation of their souls is now at work and is available, but we're not tapping into the power. We're not plugged in. We're battling and struggling. The Redeemer who lives offers grace in the guilt, help in trials, joy in the pain, strength in the sorrow, peace in the storms, provision for today, a new identity, a new future. Mercy as we wait, victory over temptation, healing now, emotionally, relationally, physically, spiritually. He offers all of these things. He offers freedom for those who are enslaved and oppressed. Forgiveness no matter what you've done wrong. The Redeemer is alive. Today he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And he sent us his Holy Spirit to empower and strengthen us. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. We have his body. We have the body of Christ all over this world. What is the body of Christ? It's the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, one of the biggest lies going around the Okanagan right now, going around across Canada, especially North American culture, is I don't need church anymore. That's one of the biggest lies. Wants to keep you out of fellowship. Yes, you've been hurt. Yes, you've been burned. Welcome to the club. I can sit and we can exchange scars and sorrows. And it will continue to happen, sadly, because wherever you have humans together, you have ugliness and brokenness. But we also have a God who heals. Just consider going through the rest of your life. But before you do so, rip off all your appendages. And see how hard it's going to be for you to go through life without your fingers and toes and hands and arms. It's not going to, without your nose, your ears, your eyes. No, the body of Christ, we're members of one another. We all need one another. Just this past week, there was a young man, a young dad, who wants to do right by God. He wants to do right by his family. He wants to live in integrity. He came by. He was discouraged. He said, I'm slipping back into some old ways and some old thoughts. I'm getting tempted. I know it's not right, but it's going to be so hard. He came to this very spot. He was standing right out here, right where Reinhardt was. It wasn't Reinhardt, but thanks for being here, protecting me. And he stood right here, and a few of us prayed with him. He was looking for a job. All hope seemed lost for him. He was just so discouraged. He's wanting to do the right thing. And you know what? Some brothers prayed for him. And it was so interesting that, and he was being dumped on by some people unfairly, not working. A little later that afternoon, we got a text message from him saying he starts a new job on Monday. Is it Monday? Jordan? Monday? Tuesday? God has been faithful. God will take care of them. God will provide. When we trust him, but this is what we need the body of Christ for in our lives. But you know what? So oftentimes, we can either run to the Redeemer or we can play the blame game. We love to blame other people, blame circumstances. We blame our parents, the way I was raised, our spouse, our kids, the ex, the boss, the government, the church. People who've let us down, the game, the blame game, you know where that started? It started in the Garden of Eden. When Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent had no legs to stand on, right? That's what took place. And we love to blame others. It started in Genesis 3. Folks, it's not who is at fault. It's not who's to blame. It's a cry, who can redeem me from this mess? Loved ones, redemption of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ shines brighter than the sun on this Okanagan Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus shines brightly. Resurrection confidence is knowing a Redeemer who lives. And it's available for all here today. Those of you that were dragged here today, because Easter dinner is waiting for you afterwards. You need resurrection confidence today. Most veteran believer, you've been walking with God for decades. You need resurrection confidence again today in your life. We all need hope in this life and beyond this life. For those of you that are winning at life right now, things are just going so well. You've got the resume, the career, the plan, the reputation, the savings, the good health. You've got the 3,000 camels. You have the 500 female donkeys, for crying out loud. You've got it all together. Just remember, some or all of that could be gone in a matter of days. And none of these things that are earthbound in this way will bring little to no satisfaction or joy in this life and will not hold any merit in eternity. But perhaps you're losing at life right now. You have no camels. You have no sheep. So much around you just feels like a dumpster fire. And whether you're winning or losing, Job experienced both of these in spades. He just didn't trust and love God in the hard times, but also in the hard times. Not just when things were going well, but throughout his life. Resurrection confidence is trusting that we will see his power, his strength today and tomorrow and one day in eternity. One day when he establishes justice and peace for all, for those who have put their trust and their confidence in him. Here at Hope Bible Church, we are not squeaky, clean, holy people that have it all together. We're quite the opposite. We're broken, sinful, messy people who have found a Redeemer who saves. Join us on this journey. I ask you to bow your heads right now just as I ask a few questions and just for personal reflection and contemplation. And the band is going to come. The prayer partners are going to be at the front on your right. These prayer partners are here to pray for you. There'll be a man to pray with a man, a woman to pray with a woman, whoever comes. But just in a moment of reflection and quietness before we sing a number of songs, who or what is your Redeemer that you're leaning on right now? Where in your life are you putting your hope? What's going to happen when tragedy and difficulty strikes, when loss happens, when you're betrayed? See, Good Friday and Easter Sunday aren't a detachment from the world in which we live. These aren't just nice little stories. No, they're declarations that we have a Redeemer. A Redeemer who entered this broken world, was rejected, betrayed, brutally beaten, abused, and died willingly on the cross for you and for me. Fully God, fully man. Took the pain, the suffering, the judgment upon himself. He became a substitute to all those who would turn and surrender to him and believe. Believe that he died for our sin and raised to new life 3 days later. Defeating sin, paying the price, defeating death once and for all. Today he's alive, sitting on a throne, and one day will return. Job lived in resurrection confidence, and so can we. So can you today. It's only a prayer away, a declaration. I trust that you would find resurrection confidence today. Have you trusted the Redeemer? If you've never done that in your life, the prayer partners would love to be able to talk with you about that. But maybe there's an area in your life where you're losing right now. There's a battle, and you need to entrust that into the hands of God. And you need to, in your own heart today, declare, I know that my Redeemer is going to see me through this because I know that my Redeemer lives. Call out to him today.